You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the...
Hi, it's not a factual emergency, but it's like a factual conundrum. Where the hell did the punching sounds in movies come from? This is Charlotte. Hi, Charlotte again. You know what? I've changed my mind. This is actually a factual emergency.
Hello?
Hey, Charlotte, it's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora.
So why is this a factual emergency for you?
Well, since quarantine started, I've been watching a lot more TV recently, and I'm not really a huge, like, violent TV fan, but my roommate and my partner both are.
They love violent television.
Yeah. So we were watching lots of TV shows with fight scenes. They just, like, love, like, mob movies and, like, crime shows. We all, as a club, decided to rewatch The Sopranos, which was an experience.
Do you have a favorite character?
Oh, 100% Syl.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
So there's a lot of punching?
Oh, so much punching. And the sounds just got funnier and funnier to me. And I just started fixating. And so I shut everything down. My roommate and my boyfriend were like, what are you doing? It's in the middle of the scene. I'm like, I have to call ELT. I will be back.
What struck you as funny about the sounds?
The sound is so outrageous in the TV shows because it's not like anything I've ever heard before IRL. I've worked in a bar. I know what punching someone sounds like because I have seen / heard it. And that sound was more like a blunt kind of fleshy punt sound. Like a
like a dull thud.
Exactly. And then the sounds in the show are... Yeah, like explosive. It sounds like two like flesh bags like smacking each other.
Flesh bags? Do you have flesh bags lying around that you smack? What does that sound like?
Like two water balloons filled with jam just like being launched in the air at each other.
All right, let's hear some of The Sopranos' greatest hits.
Whoa, whoa.
You already down, huh? You already down. You piece of shit. What are you, a vegetarian? You eat beef and sausage by the fucking carload.
Okay, is that what you had in mind?
Yeah, maybe it's a little more congealed than jam. Maybe it's a little more stable.
So what do you want to know?
I want to know who is responsible for this and what makes the sound.
How do you think they make these sounds? Where do you think these sounds come from?
Well, I tried to Google this at one point, and someone was saying two chicken breasts slapped together, which was very disgusting imagery, so I'm really hoping that's not the case.
Okay, so we found you a heavyweight in the world of fake fisticuffs.
Even though doing punches sometimes can hurt, I still get excited to do them.
That's Joanna Fang, and she's a Foley artist and Emmy Award-winning sound editor. You may have heard Joanna's handiwork in Making a Murderer, Manchester by the Sea, The Invisible Man.
Oh, wow.
Our job is to go through a movie or a video game or a TV show and produce sound effects that can't be found from a library.
She's in charge of creating very specific sounds, the like squeaks and slaps you wouldn't find in a stock sound library.
If a character is running to catch a train and she's wearing a pair of high heels and she's had a really rough day, the timbre of her footsteps and the performance of the sound of her heels is crafted by the Foley artist.
The reason those clip-clops have to be crafted is because on set, in terms of audio, filmmakers are just focused on recording clean dialogue. All the other sounds you hear, floor creaks, wine glass clinks, and punches, are created later, created by people like Joanna, in a studio.
Imagine, if you will, I am in a soundproof room with a whole bunch of shoes and a whole bunch of surfaces and a whole bunch of props, and I'm watching this woman run for the train, and I would put on a pair of heels, I'd watch the scene, and then we would record me running in sync to the moving image on the screens.
So do you have a huge prop closet? Like, where do all these shoes and surfaces come from?
Basically, we have a room dedicated just to exterior footstep surfaces. So we have concrete pits and dirt. We have water pits. We have glass. And then we have a stage for interior footstep sound. So every type of household floor surfacing. So everything from linoleum to creaky wood to even a massive performance stage.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. I just love the sound of that job. And I love the idea of just looking at something so minutely like that. And I'm regretting all career paths I took.
What would you do in a room like that? If you had that room available, what would you do?
I do really love the sound of like heels on tile. I think I would just do that the whole time. Just click away by myself for like an hour or so.
Joanna says she's also always on the lookout for new sources of sound.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just at Home Depot yesterday picking up some duct tape for a short film. And I couldn't help but wonder if different brands of duct tape sound different from one another. Or me and my assistant foliarist, we walked over to where they have all the different tiling and wood linoleum surfaces you can buy for your flooring. And we were just sitting there touching all of them, trying to imagine, like, what if you wore the number 5 sneakers and you put some water? Like, what would that sound like?
Oh, that's just, I'm just so stoked that she and her job exist. And I'm curious about like how she does things and what she deems realistic or acceptable for a scene.
Yeah. So let's get to the matter at hand. You observed that TV punches sound a little ham-fisted and you wanted to know why.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Joanna agrees with your jab.
If you've ever watched a fight on like World Star Hip Hop or have been able to witness a fight in person, punches aren't that loud. You know what I mean? Like, you mostly hear like a slap in the distance. And when you hear that slap, that's usually enough to tell you, oh, that was an intense punch.
I feel 100% validated.
You should. But here's the catch. Joanna says she doesn't want you to feel like the punch happened far away and to somebody else.
If I do it right, it should sound like you just got punched. It should translate to the audience feels like they just got hit, you know? Because that's the ultimate deal of any Foley artist. Our job is to create an empathetic sound response to what you see on screen.
Empathetic sound response. I love that.
To make you feel like you just got slugged in the face, Joanna has a bunch of different punch recipes. So for example, Joanna worked on the movie Spencer Confidential. In it, Mark Wahlberg stars as an ex-cop better known for making trouble than solving it.
I feel like that's kind of his wheelhouse, is it not?
Yeah, and as you might expect, there's a lot of punching.
In a movie like Spencer Confidential, what we would do is we would create 3 separate layers for every single punch. The first layer is the most realistic layer. It's skin on skin.
And that skin has to come from somewhere.
Oh, no.
It's literally me slapping my hands or punching my open hand to try to get that smack. Sometimes I resort to slapping my thigh if I want that extra little bit of bite to go over it.
So that's layer 1. But the sound of one hand slapping isn't enough to make you feel like an A-list stunt double just knocked your teeth out. So Joanna adds another layer on top.
Then we do a more bodily sound. So, you know, I'll throw on a pair of jeans and I'll grab a heavy boot and I'll smack my body with it.
Ouch!
This shoulder is particularly sore from doing lots of fight scenes.
So you're smacking your shoulder with a boot to get, what are you getting from that? Like, what does that add?
It adds like a mid-level frequency that kind of resonates.
I feel bad that she's punching herself, but it comes together. It tracks. It makes sense.
And then the final pass is like the subwoofer sweetener, in which case we often take something way over the top. So in my case, I often take a boxing glove and I wrap it in a chamois, or I take a leather couch cushion and we smack it really freaking hard with like a baseball bat or, you know, a Japanese bokudo or just like slam my fist into it. And when all these things are lined up and combined, you get at least a Foley artist's interpretation of a punch.
Do you want to hear one of Joanna's wallops?
I would love to.
That's how you throw a f***ing punch!
Ooh, did you hear it?
Yeah. I felt like I heard all of those layers. The smacking is definitely a little bit more prominent to me. And then just like the depth of the sound and kind of that like quick, almost not quite echo, but just the reverberation. Almost has like a reverse suction cupping sound to it.
And Joanna says she's not just making one punch sound for a movie. She's making a bunch of them.
Ooh.
Joanna wants her sounds to turn that fight scene into a fight story.
It'd be one thing if you just cut in a punch sound effect that sounds good for every single punch. On the other hand, it's another thing to create this more musical performance where there's ups and downs, there's struggles. Some hits don't hit as hard as other hits, and some are the final blow.
Is there anything that you would put into a knockout punch?
Like the finale punch.
Yes, yeah. The finale punch. Like what would you do to really set that one apart?
Sometimes we'll add an extra texture just to really sell it. So if it's like a slow motion punch, sometimes we'll add the creak of sinew as the hand's rushing towards it.
What's the creak of sinew?
The creak of sinew often is a celery or bok choy, you know, wrapped in a pair of jeans or some leather. We also have this handy vintage gun holster that creaks even when you barely touch it. It goes, eh. And if you can feel the sweat coming off the person's body, we'll actually soak a chamois, which is like this piece of preserved sheepskin, and we'll hit it and kind of get that squish and that fluid. So when it comes to the knockout punch, we try to find those little details, and it creates something that feels even more bodily.
How does this compare with what you thought you'd hear?
Honestly, it's such a cool job and such an interesting way of doing something that I thought was not a throwaway, but I just thought it was something that was just ridiculous and heightened. I didn't know there was such a strong, like, artistic focus.
Yeah, there's a whole philosophy.
And I love that. That makes me want to watch violent films.
Any interest in getting punched to see if Joanna's work is realistic?
I mean, I'll do it for science, Flora. I'll do it for science. But only Joanna can punch me. I want the expert to do the punching. Put celery all up the legs of my jeans and just, you know, I'll just sit or roll in a ball in the field position while she hits me with a boot. I want her to have something that she can put into movies for generations, truly.
After the break, more movie myth-busting. Do investigators really solve crimes using bulletin boards covered in red yarn and thumbtacks? Our next question comes from listener Miles.
Yes, my question is this. In any movies and police detective shows, they always have these boards with pictures drawn on it, lines. So what exactly is that? And is it really used as much as you see it in thriller movies? Cold case files, blah, blah, blah. Thank you so very much.
Miles, I know just what you're talking about. And anyone who has watched a crime show on TV probably does too. The bulletin board covered in pictures of suspects, there's red string and thumbtacks. But are these things real? Do investigators really use these boards? To find out, we called someone we suspected would know.
My name is Jerry Williams. I'm a retired FBI agent.
Jerry spent 26 years in the FBI, mainly working on economic crimes like Ponzi schemes. And a lot of her work was interviewing people. So you can picture Jerry out on the streets, talking to people, suit, trench coat.
No trench coat, but definitely, you know, the pantsuit. That's the uniform of the female FBI agent, is that pantsuit and all the many different colors of black, brown, gray, and navy blue.
Okay, so let's bore into the question. Do FBI investigators use the evidence boards you see on TV?
No. And yes.
Really?
So let me tell you first, we really don't use it as an investigative tool. And there's two reasons.
First reason, in most FBI offices, agents sit all together in an open bullpen.
Where are you going to put this board?
It's a real estate issue?
Mm-hmm. It's a real estate issue, for one.
Jerry said, despite what you see on TV, agents usually work cases alone or maybe with a partner, so...
Everybody else in the squad is not even really interested in your big board, and it's just going to get in the way, and, you know, that's your case.
So space is one issue. Here's the second.
Security, or the integrity of the case.
Investigations are top secret.
Why would you put all your evidence on display like that? You have no idea who's going to be coming through the squad area. Sometimes other people from other agencies, maybe the family members of the agents on the squad are going through. You've got your housekeeping people. You've got people from other squads. It just is not appropriate for you to display your evidence that way.
So there's no like secret room where you can't be bugged and you can put up any evidence you want?
Right. You're talking about a skiff.
Oh, what's a skiff?
So a skiff is a sensitive compartmented information facility. So SCIF, a skiff. And usually you're not even allowed to have a cell phone in the facility. It's very, very secure. Now, I doubt seriously, even in a skiff, if there's going to be a big board for everyone in the skiff to see what's going on in your case. Now, I remember having a case where I had 16 searches that we conducted in a two-day period. And of course, you can imagine how many people I needed to have participate. I had the whole office out. But even in that situation, I had everything written down on a report so they could flip through, and maybe if they went to arrest a particular person, they were able to see, oh, wait a minute, this guy that was supposed to be arrested at that other location is here too. So they needed to know that information. But having it on a big board is not very helpful. You know, not everybody could take the big board with them.
Okay, so you don't use it as an investigative tool.
Yes.
When do you use the board?
Well, they would be used in several situations. One place that you would have that board would be in a prep meeting or to update superiors. So your boss's boss may want to get an update on what's happening with the case. So to make it easy and entertaining. So,
just like in school, get
yes,
a poster board.
Exactly. Then you may put everything on a pretty board.
The other reason the FBI might get crafty? Trial.
If you have a court hearing or any type of situation where you need to present your evidence to a jury or to a judge, then you're going to have an exhibit. And so in that particular case, yes, you would have all of that out there. So you'd have your targets and, you know, pinpoints of locations, if it was a murder or a drug buy or, you know, some type of terrorist act, then yes, you can put all of that on a nice exhibit board.
What about the red string?
Including red string.
So you're not likely to find one of those boards hanging in an FBI office. There are reports of string boards in police precincts, but they're rare there too, for the reasons Jerry mentioned. And because now with computers, there's an app for that. Want to hear more about what it's really like in the FBI? Check out Jerry's podcast, FBI Retired Case File Review. And if you have a question you can't get to the bottom of, call us, 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Caitlin O'Keefe, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman. With help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Bobby Lord and Dara Hirsch. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. ELT is a Spotify original podcast. Am I a flesh bag? Goodbye.